Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Maritime Trades and the Seafarers International Union, both of Washington, D.C. We appreciate their support. Joining me today, we've got Bill Londrigan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Great to be here. Thanks.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. I understand you guys have a visitor today.
Yes, sir. I guess President Trump is coming to Louisville, just like Pence did last week. And, Charles, I guess the rationale is they're trying to pressure Rand Paul into supporting their destruction of the healthcare system. So it seems like he probably isn't paying too much attention to him, but obviously they're putting on the full court press apparently to try to get him to change. And obviously they're coming here to drum up support and it's kind of ironic that they would come to Kentucky after what success we had with the ACA. And how many people have gotten health insurance that never had it before, and now all those people are going to lose it, Charles.
Right.
It's a really ironic, set of circumstances for Trump to come to Kentucky and promote his health care plan destruction. And so many people here in Kentucky that have benefited from it that are no longer going to do so under the proposal. So really kind of a strange thing to be doing is promoting the destruction of health care in Kentucky at this point.
Bill, let me ask you a question. Obviously, KY Connect had about 30,000 people receiving benefits from it, and that's gone away. Those people, do they understand that Donald Trump is the reason why this is happening? And what are they doing?
Well, it's part of the reason, Charles, as we've mentioned before in this program, that it was the idea of Koch back to Governor Matt Bevin here in Kentucky that came up with the idea of doing away with the health care program that worked so well here under the office of the previous governor, Steve Beshear, who put it into place, the Democrat. So he's come along and decided that didn't work. And now with the Trump proposal, it's just icing on the cake, more or less, that folks that, got off Connect, a lot of them were able to go on to the federal exchanges and, go through that whole process and everything. And now a lot of that's going away, too. So there you go, one on top of the other. There's no backup for so many people here. And all those, problems that we had in the past of covering folks and having them all use emergency rooms and things of this nature that increase healthcare costs. They're going to come ripping right back on us, Charles. And it's just insane that this policy would be proposed for that. Well, they'll hurt so many people here in Kentucky and across the country. And I think you already probably talked about the CBO numbers that came
right
out. And it's outrageous, And to think that there's not going to be people that are going to die directly because of this action is just unfathomable, Charles.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Bill, simply for the fact that, people are not going to have the health care coverage. They're not going to be able to get it. They're not going to be able to afford it. They're not going to be able to get medicines. And, that's why we have to fight against this so hard. That is absolutely positively the reason why we have to fight back against this now.
Yep, and you're exactly right. And the more people raise their voices, the more that some of these politicians may start paying attention. So I'm sure that it's causing a lot of angst among a lot of the Republicans already, and it's already been widely reported that it has, that, they're wondering what this replace thing is, that they've been wanting to repeal it for all these years, and you'd think they would have came up with some sort of replacement that was at least commensurate with what was already there. And of course that is so far from the truth that it's just unbelievable that we're going totally backwards once again on health care because we have a system here, Charles, that's all about making money for large health care corporations and not really delivering adequate health care to the nation. And you know, Charles, when you look at the fact that we're the only industrialized nation that doesn't provide free health care for its citizens and government subsidies to make sure everybody's got health care, it just, you know, boggles the mind that we're what we're thinking here, you know. And as you know, with Barry Craig, you had a wonderful story about his visit to England there when he got, or was it Ireland, I believe, when his wife got ill. And when they tried to eat, at least pay part of the bill, they said that we didn't even know how to take the money.
You know,
where are we?
You know, it's such a good program. You can invite your friends over, and they'll take care of you too. You know, I mean, it's like, come on over, have dinner, you know, use our medical system. We're good. Yeah. I get it, Bill. And unfortunately, Democrats, Republicans, independents, people all across the spectrum in this country, this is not based on political ideology. This is based on, you know, let's take it off the poor working people and give big tax breaks to wealthy people. And that's all there is to it. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, that's what happens when you have a system that's, you know, based on, you know, profit making. You know, Charles, that's why our system is the way it is. It's all about, you know, how much money that can be made off the healthcare needs of the citizens when, you know, it should be about providing healthcare and not providing insurance companies with, you know, mega profits. And, you know, they continually, you know, hoot and holler about not, you know, making any money, that the system's this or that, and we're losing money on this. And when you look at it, you find out they're making billions of dollars. It's just unconscionable. And now, you know, they want to shift the cost around from, you know, private insurers to the federal government to Medicaid. And it's just a really a screwed up mess, Charles. And this is just going to make it so much more worse for people. When it looked like at least, you know, things were changing in a positive direction, you know, with folks not having to worry about pre-existing conditions, not having to worry about their, you know, children not being covered because we were covered up to a higher age than we were previously. It's just, you know, all, you know, they say they're going to preserve some of this stuff, but, you know, it's hard to believe anything they say, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I keep telling people, you know, look, don't believe me. Check it out for yourself. Go to the places that are going to provide you with accurate information. Figure it out for yourself. Do your own homework and work accordingly. This again, Bill, is something that you, the Kentucky AFL-CIO, and labor all across the country have been working very hard to fight back against on behalf of everybody, not just the membership, not just people that think like us, but for everybody. And quite frankly, it's this is really shameful on what's being pushed down our throat. And this is the kind of thing that Paul Ryan's famous for. You know, Paul Ryan, he, when he was a young man, unfortunately lost one of his parents. He collects a Social Security all the way through college, but he wants to pull the ladder up behind everybody else. We're not good enough.
It's unreal. You know, then they call it some sort of entitlement, you know.
Right.
Only he's entitled to it and everybody else is, you know, out of luck, I guess.
I don't know what to tell you. Hey, Bill, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more, okay?
Okay.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The Sheet Metal Workers Local 12, reminding you that sheet metal is vital to technology and manufacturing in nearly every industry known to man. Sheet metal workers gain knowledge and skills in all aspects of sheet metal manufacture and fabrication, leading to a variety of career opportunities. The Sheet Metal Workers Local 12 is now accepting applications for apprentices. Requirements include a high school diploma or GED and a Pennsylvania driver's license. More information can be obtained online at smlocal12.org. That's smlocal12.org.
You know what our country needs right now? I think we need something that can bring us together again, something that can heal the raw wound of deep political division imperiling our society. And guess what? One company has come out with just the balm America needs, an ad for a luxury automobile. Seriously? Yes, the cultural bridge builders at Cadillac have produced an advertising campaign intended not only to sell its pricey cars, but also to heal America's social divide. How? By reminding TV audiences about everyone's desire to achieve the American dream, as symbolized, of course, by the status symbol of owning a Cadillac. Seriously? Yes. The ad begins with a stark declaration. We are a nation divided. That's what they tell us. Then Cadillac's ad suddenly shifts gears, gliding into an uplifting, touchy-feely montage of all in this together inclusiveness. We carry each other forward, the narrator purrs, no matter who we are or what we believe. Mustering all of the modesty you would expect from a Cadillac executive, the corporation's marketing head explains that we didn't want to enter the political debate, we wanted to transcend it. Ah, yes, and how better to go beyond rancorous political disharmony than to drive away from it in a luxury car? This is Jim Hightower saying, the corporate honchos tried out this message on an unbiased audience of Texas Cadillac dealers. And guess what? They loved it. One dealer gushed that the ad identifies the ultra-expensive car with, quote, unity, optimism, courage. Seriously? Yes, apparently Cadillac thinks the right and left, the rich and poor, can all become e pluribus unum again by unifying around America's new egalitarian slogan, a $100,000 car in every garage.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by, well, the PSEA, Pennsylvania State Education Association, and the Staffers Union. So that's a, kind of like a twofer. We appreciate that. Education's a great thing. Hey, listen, right now we got Bill Londergan with the Kentucky AFL-CIO on the phone with us. Bill, welcome back.
Oh, Charles, great to be here. Thanks.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. So let me ask you a question. Since Donald Trump, president, is coming to town to make the pitch, is the freedom of speech zone over in West Virginia?
Well, I haven't really checked it out, the actual location yet, but I have a feeling it'll be some distance away from the actual event, which is taking place there at our state fairgrounds there in Louisville. So there should be an adequate opportunity for folks to express their opinions, Charles. Louisville's a pretty good town when it comes to folks, being given their rights to protest, and I expect that to happen today. And I'll bet there's going to be a whole bunch of folks out there. Even in this little town called Lawrenceburg, Charles, about 2 weeks ago, about 1,000 people turned out to voice their displeasure with President Trump over his positions and all his falsehoods. So definitely looking forward to, we'll say, significant protest and having people raise their voices up against the things that are happening right now and what this president and this administration's doing and, you know, what they're going to be doing as we go forward here.
Well, I am glad to hear that the folks at Kentucky are going out and having that conversation with their elected officials and redressing their grievances with their government. That's appropriate. That's the right thing to do. And anybody who tries to stop that, quite honestly, is acting in a shameful manner. But that's my opinion. And not necessarily does every dictator, person believe that. So I don't know what to tell you, Bill. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, just with UPS alone, how many Teamsters do you have in Louisville?
I think somewhere around 15,000, Charles, if not more.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, Kentucky does have a sizable labor presence, and that coupled with the 30,000 people that no longer have health care coverage and everybody else who's concerned about all of those people might just show up.
Well, Charles, that's the whole thing that's going on now. You know, for years, of course, it's been the war on workers, and we've been witnessing that, you know, over and over with these right-to-work laws and these Koch brother takeovers of these state governments and the repeal of prevailing wage and charter schools, which they passed here last week. You know, all that stuff is, you know, being orchestrated by, you know, the wealthy Koch brothers and all their allies that are interested in turning back the clock on folks. And, you know, here in Kentucky, obviously the now the focus from this president and this administration extends just way beyond just people that, you know, work for a living. It's aimed at students, the elderly, people of color, gender. It's really a widespread attack across the board that I think is going to have a great impact in terms of turning out folks and uniting them together against the common problem that we see. And you have all these different groups, I think, which is encouraging, Charles, to see them come out. Whereas, you know, we've had labor issues and have picketed and, you know, stood out and demonstrated and held rallies and done a whole bunch of stuff over the years to raise our voices and to get our issues out to the public and to the, you know, people that work for a living and the politicians. And now other folks are coming out in a large amount. And I think that's, you know, really what needs to happen is that people, whether you want to call them progressives, whether you want to call them Democrats, I don't care what you call them, folks that are not going to sit still for what's happening, not going to allow everything that's been put together over decades, you know, to be turned back in this very short period of time by this president that told folks that he was going to take care of them and that he was going to save their jobs. He was going to save the coal industry and he wasn't going to hurt them and he was going to be a good friend to working people. And obviously all that stuff has gone by the wayside now, and folks are going to wake up real quick and get engaged to try to push back and talk to their elected representatives, just like they have been at these town halls. And we had one here in not long ago in Lexington, and Andy Barr, the congressman, got an earful from all of these folks that are very, very worried, Charles, not just about, you know, health care, but the whole lineup of things, whether it's the environment, whether we're going to have clean water and clean air to breathe down the road, whether our children and grandchildren will have any opportunity for an education. So it runs the gamut. And I think in that case, more and more people will get engaged and really try to start paying more attention to exactly what's going on and maybe not believing politicians when they tell them lies in such vivid detail.
Absolutely. Bill, let me ask you this. Are organizations in Kentucky reaching out to the AFL-CIO and saying, hey, you know, how can we work together, that this is their first time doing that with you?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, we've always had our great coalitions and alliances, Charles, with so many groups here in Kentucky. You know, whether it's the Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, the trial attorneys, just a whole bunch of other folks we've been engaged with over the years. And now these new groups are kind of springing up out here, as you wouldn't imagine at this juncture. There's been, you know, Indivisible and a couple of these other groups that are, you know, just kind of coming together, and they've been reaching out as well. They recognize that, you know, we've been in this fight for a long time, for a century and more, and that they recognize that unions are an integral part of any kind of, you know, effort to try and change the way things are. And I think they recognize that, you know, what affects people at their jobs affects their lives, affects their health, affects their civil rights. And on that basis, you know, we are somewhat of a hub inside this wheel of discontent or of these groups that are going to push back.
Well, that's good. And the more this happens, and you know this probably better than anybody else, the more that you're getting new members of the community coming in and joining the coalition, and people actually get an opportunity to see, hey, you union guys and gals, you really don't have horns and tails, and my goodness, you've been doing this for a while. How do I get this done right? You know, that kind of stuff. It helps. Yeah. It really does.
Sure it does. And I know our folks are engaged at different places, and I know that in Louisville, where we have, like you mentioned, a very, you know, strong union population down there. You know, so it's basically, you know, folks coming out together to work together. So it's all about having that common interest for the common good. And once we get folks understanding that it just doesn't happen when you just sit at home or you don't go vote and things of this nature, you really, you know, start getting their attention. And I think this will do more than anything else could have done to try and wake people up to, you know, the reality of what happens when they vote for the wrong person.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, take it. It's a lesson learned. Move and do the right thing next time. You know, and that's an important thing, yeah?
It is, and all hope is that, you know, things can, you know, don't go so awry here that the damage becomes irreparable. That's the concern, Charles.
I agree. And, you know, it's like in the immortal words of Cecil Roberts, lobby your hobby, but vote your job. Yeah. Bill, we got to get going, man. How do we find out more about the Kentucky AFL-CIO and how we can help?
Okay, our Facebook page is KYAFL-CIO, and our website is AFL-CIO-KY.
There you go, brother. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, sounds great. Have a great day, and thanks for letting me speak.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.